Good morning, and God's peace to all of you. Greetings from the Christians in Ironwood, where we serve, and I'm sure you know some of them, but they wanted that the greetings of God's peace would be brought to you also from them. Today we're going to read the Old Testament text for this Sunday, and I've expanded it just a bit from what the church fathers had written down, but we're going to read from the book of Jonah, the third and fourth chapters. And we read in the name of our Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works and that they had turned from their evil way, and God repented from the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, and God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Amen. This book ends on an odd note, doesn't it? But so it is with the preaching of the Word of God. I was telling someone here earlier that I've preached in this church one time before, and that's probably about 20 years ago during an Eastern mission service here. And I thought of all the preaching that has gone on before that in this community and the churches, and even from that time, even to now, and how the Word of the Lord continues to go forth in our communities and in our churches. And many times it's with reluctant people. It's not always the way that we would want it to be as far as the speaking of the Word of God. But God's will be accomplished. And so as this text speaks to us, he He's directing us to the point of where do we stand with this? There's so many things that are covered and so many different things that are addressed by this text that I'm sure we're not going to cover them all. But we pray that the Lord would open that which is necessary for each of us this morning. For it says, where we began reading, that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. So, and I'm sure you're familiar with this story, but there was a first time that the word came to Jonah. And oftentimes, as it was when the word of the Lord came to Jonah the first time, if we're reluctant to heed what God is asking us to do, and as he went in the opposite direction of what he was, where he was asked to go, and if things sort of work out, we think, well, that's God's will. And it's seldom or not always that God gives us a second chance when he calls us to do something. So we are encouraged when the Lord lays something upon your heart, and when you are asked in your church to do something, don't just pass that off and say, that's not for me. That, you know, that's somebody else's job. That's not mine. Don't quickly do that. Because that may be God asking you and have something for you to do, a responsibility. It may not be preaching the word, but the church is a lot more than the preaching of the word, as you are well aware of. And so when he lays a responsibility upon you, don't just pass it aside and say, that's not for me. And because nothing becomes of that, say that, well, see, it wasn't the will of God. Oftentimes when God asks us to do something and we as people don't respond to that, he just passes over to someone else. His will be accomplished. But do you want to be a part of it, is the question. But Jonah wasn't let off the hook. Even though when he went, here's the ship, buys the fare, everything seems perfect. He's leaving, going in a different direction. He doesn't have to go to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go and preach there. We find out in the text that we read the reason that he didn't want to go there. It was an ungodly city. But the main reason he didn't want to go there is because he didn't want those people saved. Now that's an amazing thought, amazing statement about a prophet of the Word of God. He didn't want those people saved because they were the enemies of his people. And so God used this whole situation, all of these different things, the storm that arises, him being cast overboard so that the storm would be quieted, the great fish, the whale coming along that God had prepared to swallow him up, all of this is so that God would reach the heart of Jonah, along with the saving of Nineveh. So there are many things that take place through God's work in the lives of people. There's a greater purpose that is going on, that the kingdom of God, that every person that has been ordained unto eternal life by God's perfect foreknowledge, which we do not know, that every person who has been called by God, chosen by God, will be brought into this kingdom, and this world will not end until that takes place, when everyone is called in. But along with that major purpose, the greatest purpose of the kingdom of God here, each one of us is now interconnected into that. And this word speaks to us. Where do we fit? How do we respond? Because as we know, there was a lot of things that took place. The people that were on the ship that he was traveling with, this storm arises. They're wondering, what are they going to do? They're crying, as the scripture says, they cry unto their gods because they are afraid for their lives. And they say, we got to cast lots. We got to find out who's to blame for this. They cast lots. It falls on Jonah. Jonah then, they ask him, okay, well, what's going on? Who are you? He said, I'm a Hebrew. And I worship the God, the living God. And so they become afraid. Now they understand and realize that the living God is working with this one man, and now they're caught in the consequences of that which Jonah has to deal with. And at that point, it says they begin to cry unto God. The first thing that takes place from what happens with Jonah is the men on the ship become aware of the gospel of the living God. And so, through the course of the events of all of our lives, God's greater purpose being accomplished, but through each of us, God working his individual plan not only in our hearts, but then through us into wherever we live, communities, churches, schools, work, wherever it is. That's how God intends it to go forth. And so they say, well, what can we do? And Jonah says, you've got to throw me into the sea. It's the only thing that's going to stop this. And after they cry to God, they say, well, there's no other way. Spare us from this innocent blood. They throw him overboard and the sea is quiet. But Jonah's in the water. God has prepared this great fish to come and swallow Jonah. And Jonah comes to a place of repentance. We probably would too, wouldn't we? I mean, this is an amazing thing. This is something that those who do not believe the Word of God, people that with reason look upon the Word of God, they get to a lot of things that happen, and this is one of the points they get to when they say, okay, I can't believe anymore. Really? A big fish coming and swallowing a man, and he lives there for 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish? And with the natural mind, we think, well, that's impossible. But do you serve a God that can do anything? Or a God that is limited by what man thinks? That's the whole difference right there. When our limitations are placed upon God, God can operate and many times does over and above that. But just like when Jesus went about in the time of his ministry and it says that he could not do miracles because of what? Their unbelief. Many times God does not do more than we believe he can do. And so we are told to believe this word completely. Because we serve a God who is not limited by man's thinking, by not limited by the elements that are in the creation that he put into place. But he is a God who can do anything. And so he put Jonah into the belly of the whale. And Jonah there was now a captive audience for God. Really didn't have anywhere else to go. And God does that to us, perhaps not in the belly of a fish. But isn't it amazing how God is able to isolate us, just he himself and us, when he wants to speak to us? And he gets our attention. He gets our attention. And we may want to distract to other things, to other people, but God says, no, this is between me and you. And I want to talk to you because I love you. And I care about you. And so as he physically did this with Jonah, he does it with us many times in the spirit. And we're thankful for it. Is it easy? Not for me. I don't know if it is for you, but it's not easy for me. But is it beneficial? At the end of it, when we come out of that, and we see how God is purging us from that which is negative, that which is contrary to his will, we, like Jonah, worship the living God. We worship him. And God then delivers us to do, and he says, okay, here's your second chance. The great fish vomited Jonah out on dry land, and God came and said, okay, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Go to that great city and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Verse 3 of chapter 3 says, Jonah arose and went. Here we see a man whose heart had been changed to some degree, to obedience now to what God was asking him to do. But as we see further in the text, there was more heart work that needed to be done. So he goes, and he went on to Nineveh. It's just a real brief summary of what took place there. And according to the word of the Lord, this is this great city, this ungodly city, this Assyrian city. Those who were contrary to God's chosen people. Those who were just the opposite of what Jonah was standing for and what he believed. And God said, because he had got his attention, because he had to go there now, he went. And he preached that very short, powerful repentance message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed. Talk about a short sermon, but powerful. Because when God has prepared the heart of the people that are there listening. And what he tells us to do is just go and bring the message. So oftentimes, we plan in churches, and I'm sure you do here, of ways to outreach into the community. But one of the most necessary preparations that we can have in our churches is to pray that God would prepare the hearts of the people as we go out and we minister in whatever ways of service that God has called us to. By neglecting that, we are putting aside one of the most important parts of mission work. Lord, prepare the hearts of those who we come to. And the hearts of the people in Nineveh were prepared. God had prepared them, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Everyone there put on the covering of repentance. When the word came unto the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, but let them not feed nor drink water. And everyone did. Not even the animals, everyone fasted. You know, sometimes when we look at you watch and listen to the news, and as we even heard as we prayed this morning for the unrest and the turmoil that is going on around the world. Within our own country, the turning away from the principles and the doctrines of truth of the Word of God that are being shunned in our own land. And there are times that we look in hopelessness and say, there's no way things can ever change. No way. But what this text also teaches us, that we should never, never think that God cannot work powerfully in the midst of an ungodly nation, in an ungodly world. Because he has. Here we see this huge city, large city of unbelieving people, those people that had no use for the living God. And when the word of the Lord came to them, complete revival, repentance took place. And so it is. And so we pray. We pray, even in the land that we live in, that the leaders of our country would be turned away from that which is evil to that which is of the truth of the Word of God. And wouldn't that be amazing? From the highest office in this land down to the least person, as it was in Nineveh, that there was a complete repentance and a fear of God that came into the hearts of people. If that could happen today, oh, we pray for that. We don't know what God will work, but we pray for that. because God is able to do that. And so this happened. And all of them, as it says in verse 9, who can tell, he said, but everyone turned from the violence that is in their hands. And who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented from the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did not do it. And so we see that God had intended. Does God ever change his mind? It says here that he did. He had intended to destroy Nineveh. But he said, go preach to them. And then the people repented. And they said, perhaps God will not destroy us, because the message of Jonah was that in 40 days, this city will be overthrown. And God, as it says, when he saw that they had repented and turned from their evil way, he turned from that which he was going to do, and that he would not do unto them, and he did it not. And so we pray the same for our nation and for this world. That which is the truth of the Word of God would be uplifted, exalted, and that Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified and worshipped as truly he deserves. But the last chapter of this text then speaks about the issue of Jonah. Jonah was very displeased when the people of Nineveh were spared. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, you know, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to do this. That's just the way you are. Well, he should have known that, because that's how God had dealt with him. Of course we know that. But for some reason, we think that God should be merciful to us, and we think, but that enemy of mine, you know, he really deserves some punishment. That neighbor of mine that I can't get along with, be merciful to me, Lord. But my neighbor, you know, do something to him. Get him to change. But make it so I don't have to love him. That would be just ideal. And God says, no, it doesn't work like that. Jonah was so angry. He said, I would rather die than have to deal with this which you have done here. I would rather die. And so God says, should you really be angry? He asks them a question. Should you be angry? And Jonah went out of the city. He leaves from his conversation, builds himself a booth. God then teaches him another lesson by this plant comes and grows over him, and he's thankful for that. Oh, the simple things of life. In his misery, God has grown this gourd plant over him so that he's sheltered. But then a worm comes and kills it. And there's this strong wind that comes blowing in, and the heat, and now Jonah's in trouble again. Lord, I thought you had saved me. You had given me a remedy. And the Lord was doing this to show him another lesson. Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And the Lord said, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night, perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? And so he says unto Jonah, should I not have mercy? Should I not care for these people? Even though, Jonah, you have a problem with them. And you know, this is the teaching of Jesus Christ, isn't it? If you look in your Bibles to the Sermon on the Mount in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Because what God is dealing with here is the heart of Jonah. He's dealing with Jonah's heart through this whole saving of Nineveh. He wants to address his heart. Jonah, why are you the way you are? In the 43rd verse of Matthew 5, it says, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Verse 45, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, which what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So this text isn't just about Jonah, is it? It's about me and it's about you. Is there situations in our life where the radical love that God has called us to is something we are saying we're not able to do that? Oh, I can love the people that love me. You know, the people that are nice to me, I'm able to love them in return. But those others, you know, that I have a problem with, that's not so easy, Lord. I don't know if I can do that. And what he is saying is that of your own self, you cannot. You cannot. And you will not. But what he is saying is that when I come to reside within you, there is going to be a love that is put within your heart that is going to surprise even you. Because you are going to find a love for those that do not love you. This is the message of the gospel. Because Jesus came and died for us when? When we were yet sinners. Were we desirable? No. But the love of God was such that he sent his Son here to save us in our sin so that we would be transformed by the blood of Jesus, forgiven, raised by the power of his resurrection into a new life to be a different type of people than this whole world has. That love in the face of hatred. That love when you are being used. That love when everyone says you should retaliate. You love. Because what's the most powerful force that we have? How does Jesus say that you will be known as his disciples? When you love. Is love easy? No. Oh, it's very easy when we're amongst friends. But when things are difficult, is it easy? No. But that's where we draw on the supernatural. Not our love, God's love. And so may it, as God was teaching Jonah, may this love also transform us so that we would look upon those who are not our own, not like us, not friendly to us, not loving to us, and we would love so that there would be salvation, that many would be called into this kingdom. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, your word has taught us that the message of the gospel will continue to go forth. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be broken before your word and before that which you teach us, so that we would now be worthy ambassadors in your kingdom, that we would not be selective of who the message of this love and grace would go out to, but that like the sower and the seed, that we would be able to sow this word in love wherever we go, whatever we do, to whoever we meet, so that we would be able to be in your will. Hearts that are changed, and as we have learned even from Jonah, that you will work your purpose in this world. And so I ask for this church, for this congregation, that your power would rest upon it, that your spirit would be within each person in such a powerful way, that the love that you have shown unto them individually, in the forgiveness that you have given, that the cross of Calvary testifies of, that the empty tomb is a witness to, would be in their lives every day as they go about that which you have called them to do. So Lord, bless us, keep us, make your face shine upon us, be gracious unto us, lift up your countenance upon us, and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.